Turn with me, if you would, to the 9th chapter of the book of Acts. Let us pray. Lord God, as we read your word today and hear the words of the story from Acts, help to continuously convert us, to change us, and to use us in new ways. Turn our failures into your success. Turn our mistakes to your favor. Through your word, through your Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. Meanwhile, Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any who belonged to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now, as he was going along and approaching Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" He asked, "Who are you, Lord?" The reply came, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless because they heard the voice but saw no one. Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. For 3 days he was without sight and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias." He answered, "Here I am, Lord." The Lord said to him, "Get up and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. At this moment, he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight." But Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints in Jerusalem, and here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who invoke your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is an instrument whom I have chosen to bring my name before Gentiles and kings and before the people of Israel. I myself will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." So Ananias went and entered the house. He laid his hands on Saul and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on your way here, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately, something like scales fell from his eyes, and his sight was restored, and he got up and was baptized. And after taking some food, he regained his strength. For several days, he was with the disciples in Damascus, and immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogue, saying, "He is the Son of God." All who heard him were amazed and said, "Is not this the man who made havoc in Jerusalem among those who invoke his name? And has he not come here for the purpose of bringing them bound before the chief priests?" Saul became increasingly more powerful and confounded the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus was the Messiah. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our Lord endures forever. So former Miami Dolphin player Bob Kuchenberg talked about his decision to go to college. His father wanted him to go to college. His father and his uncle were human cannonballs at the carnival. His father said, "Go to college or be a human cannonball." Well, then one day they went to their act, and his uncle came out of the cannon, missed the net, and hit the Ferris wheel. Bob Kuchenberg decided to go to college. Sometimes God needs to do something to get our attention. Today in the story, Paul, or Saul as he is here, needs something to get his attention. God needed to do something to get his attention. When I saw the original story of Star Wars, I couldn't believe it. I'm one of those who can remember when the original Star Wars came out, before it was called A New Hope. I couldn't believe it. It was an amazing story. And then the Empire Strikes Back came out, and they were striking back at me. No doubt I was invested in the story. Han Solo was frozen. Luke Skywalker lost his hand. Not to spoil it, but lost his hand. What's next? And then the kicker. In the Return of the Jedi, the bad guy becomes the good guy. Well, there's a twist in our story today. You probably have a favorite story that you've read. Maybe it's Harry Potter or Lord of the Rings, some other series. Oftentimes the sequel is not as engaging or not better than the original. For instance, the first Planet of the Apes movie is great. The second one was a disaster. I mean the one from the 60s. Sequel is bizarre and not good in any way. Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, who's been in a lot of movies, said, "As we all know, sequels can be tricky. People either get engaged and invested or they don't. Acts is like the overlooked sequel of the Bible. It's engaging and exciting. If living up to the ministry and power of the Son of God in the Gospels is your excuse for not getting involved or not taking a risk, the book of Acts takes this problem away from you. Because the people in Acts are ordinary people, just like you and me. Acts is where the community begins to emerge and where the church becomes a community of people who cross lines of race and class. Jesus sends his disciples out on a mission as he leaves for heaven. They're going to be his witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and all the earth. And Acts reports the results of that mission. Even without Jesus in the body, the mission carries on. Acts is also the place where we begin to write the story with God. Acts calls us to be participants in the story. Traditionally, Luke is considered to be the writer of the Gospel of Luke and Acts. But no matter who the person was that wrote those books, no matter what that person's name was, whoever it was makes a shift about halfway through the book of Acts, along Paul's missionary journey, where the writer says, moves from they or he to we. Luke is an active, admitted participant in the story. Acts is also the story of change. People who start out bad, start out killing people, killing innocent people, can get better. That's the great thing about a good story. The villain can become the hero. If Darth Vader can change, Paul can change. We hear the story of many believers who change their commitments and their trust and who begin to follow Jesus. The world can change in an instant. Our perspective on the world can change in an instant. Here's the other thing that we learn from movies is the villain in a movie often thinks they're doing the right things. Think about the villain Thanos from Marvel's Avengers. The changes they make in the world often try to shift something in the world in order to keep something solid within them, some principle they have. This is not to sympathize with villains. Instead, to understand that a person's character and determination can be turned in a better direction. You see, I don't think that Paul's personality changed one bit. Paul was a determined, zealous, and effective person. He was helpful. At the stoning of Stephen in Acts, he was the one holding the coat so that everybody could get it done. What changed? God got Paul's attention and changed Paul's direction. All the natural gifts that God had given Paul were aimed all in the wrong direction. Paul had not met Jesus yet. God had to show Paul that being zealous and committed and determined was not wrong. But Paul now had a new message. And Paul now had a new Lord. Paul quickly moves from villain to hero, from antagonist to protagonist, from perpetrator to truster, from assassin to herald of Christ. Sometimes we think we don't need to change. But sometimes God needs to get our attention to wipe away the scales from our eyes, to show us a new and better way. God's not going to change your entire personality. If you're a free-spirited person beforehand, when God changes you, you'll probably still be that afterwards. If you're an organized person, you'll still be organized afterwards. If you're a thinker, you'll still be a thinker. If you're someone who feels things deeply, you'll still feel things deeply. If you're quiet, you'll still be quiet. The change is in trust and trajectory. Paul was not doing what the Lord wanted. Paul was following his own interpretation of the law and faith, and Paul had a better way, and Jesus had a better way for Paul. God would use Paul as the apostle to the Gentiles, the person sent to go to the people who were not Jewish. Paul was unique that he was a well-educated Pharisee, by his own admission, but he was also a Roman citizen. He could go anywhere and talk to anybody. We don't know a lot about his youth, but I imagine Paul in Tarsus, surrounded by all different kinds of people. His career in Jerusalem also prepared him for what God wanted him to do. God was using Paul throughout his life, and his life was leading to this moment. There's also another change that happens in Paul. One of the things that we learned in our course on poverty this spring was that violence and abuse is something that the church needs to preach against. How quickly, the course asks, how quickly would someone know how you feel about violence in your church? Well, the quick answer, the simple answer is, we're against it. And it is passages like this that show us how the Bible feels about violence as well. Paul's change is away from violence, away from abuse, and towards preaching. As one theologian says, it is violence replaced by witness. Rather than hurting others, Paul shares with others. Acts is also a story about helpers and encouragers. If you read the entire book, you will see lots of people helping one another in their ministry. We would not know Paul without Ananias from this passage. We would also not know Paul without Barnabas or Silas or Timothy, his later partners in ministry. Barnabas' own name means son of encouragement. Paul needed Ananias to help him see the message he received on the road was true, and that God was really speaking to him, and God meant this for him. Ananias reaches out to Paul in this moment and calls Paul brother. Not neighbor, or not something more distant, but brother. Imagine yourself as Ananias in the story. Maybe God has called you to make a difference in some challenging person in this world, to make a change and to be a help in their life. Someone that no one else says can be good. Someone with whom your very association will cause a problem. Maybe God is calling you as an encourager. Finally, God saves Paul not just from something, but to something. Paul may have been saved from his sins and bad actions, but Paul was saved to become one of the greatest proclaimers of the gospel and evangelists the world has ever known. We look to his letters personally, as churches, and more importantly, we all look to them as the inspired word of God. Paul began here in Damascus and preached a simple sermon 180 degrees different from his previous message. Jesus is the Son of God. Short and to the point. The one who came there to arrest and punish and kill now had a very different message and a very different tune. Paul's zeal had not changed. His heart had. His trust had. What change of heart is God working in you today? Again, the book of Acts is not accurately titled The Acts of the Apostles. more accurate title for the book of Acts would be the Acts of the Holy Spirit. The apostles may be the characters in the story, but God is the one who's at work. Here, he blinds and heals Paul, all for the better. Then he fills Paul with the Holy Spirit. The Lord's presence and leading was missing in Paul's life. Now, following the Holy Spirit, we know that Paul is truly engaged. The risen Lord is at work in you today as well. The risen Lord is trying to get your attention if you will listen. And God is also calling you as encouragers and helpers in the faith. May you be filled with the Holy Spirit. May you encourage others. And may God change you today. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.